Lord has done in our lives. Amen. It's a good reminder, and praise the Lord for those things. All right, junior church, you can be dismissed. So kids, you can head off. Yesterday, we did have memorial service for Brother Jim Holding, and his family was able to say a bunch of things. And again, as me and my family have only been here for 5 years and change, we didn't get to know a lot of things about a lot of people and, of course, the history and things. But I was glad, I felt pretty good to know that I was also included on his famous email list of jokes. And he was a man of jokes, of practical jokes and a bunch of things. And he would always come to me after, not always, but he would come to me after services and he would say, "Pastor, I have some jokes for you. Maybe you could tell from the pulpit." And I said this yesterday, but my first thought was, he doesn't think I'm funny. Like, he's just like, this guy needs some jokes, right? He needs some help. So, all right, I'm an acquired taste. I understand that. But, and then he would send me some emails, and I was like, I can't do these jokes. But you know what we're going to do today? In honor of Brother Jim Holding. All right, I have an email that he sent me a while ago, and these are just kind of one-liners. And Pastor Aaron, these are Brother Holding's jokes, so you can't boo me. All right, these are Brother Holding sent to me. All right, so here's the idea. Here's the kind of man that Brother Holding was. To write with a broken pencil is pointless. All right, so you're seeing how they're going to go, right? The play on words here is what we're going to have. A thief stole a calendar and got 12 months. A dentist and a manicurist married. They fought tooth and nail. A will is a dead giveaway. That's a rough one. A hard-boiled egg is hard to beat. When you've seen one shopping center, you've seen a mall. Yeah, that one's okay. A bicycle can't stand alone. It's just too tired. Tires. He had a photographic, this is me, he had a photographic memory, it just never developed. Yeah, that's how I feel. That's how I feel. But it was a blessing to have Brother Holding's memorial service and to be there for his family. Thank you for those that came to support them and their family. And it was good. And praise the Lord. As I was already mentioned, Mrs. Grimes had mentioned it, is because of the Word of God, because of the promises of the Scriptures, we don't have to sorrow as those that have no hope. And we know because of the Scriptures that because of His testimony of salvation in Jesus Christ, that we'll see Him again someday. If you're saved and born again, we'll see Him again, and thank God for that. And it is a comfort, and it is a help, and it is an encouragement to us. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 5 this morning. Ecclesiastes 5. We're going to look at two verses in Ecclesiastes and kind of, there's not going to be a lot of turning in the Scriptures this morning, so you can kind of settle into Ecclesiastes and kind of settle down there. We're going to kind of jump off from here from Ecclesiastes, and then we're just going to preach for a little bit, and then we'll be done. That's what we normally do, but sometimes we're turning to a bunch of passages. And we're not really going to do that this morning. Let's kind of get an idea here. It was a catchphrase for a while. Preachers kind of emulate, pick up different sayings, and you kind of emulate those sayings. And for a while, there was this saying going around to preachers, say, we're going to start, it's going to be a springboard verse. It's going to springboard us into the message and get us going. So but that's what we're doing today. We're going to have springboard verses here, and then we're going to get into it. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And read verse number 7 with me, Ecclesiastes 5, 7. It says, "For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also divers vanities, but fear thou God." This idea of multitude of dreams and many words being spoken, divers, we would say diverse, different kinds of, but divers vanities. Ecclesiastes talks a lot about vanity. And why? It's because Solomon lives his life and he lives for self and he lives for worldly wisdom, and he has some knowledge of God. He has God's hand is on his ministry as king over the nation of Israel, but this is written here towards closer to the end of his life, and he writes all these things. I've done this and I've seen this in all of my days, and man, it's vanity. It accounts for nothing. It doesn't mean anything. And so in a multitude of dreams and many words, there are also divers vanities. Turn to Ecclesiastes 6. Maybe for you, it's just look to Ecclesiastes 6 in verse number 9. The Bible says, better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. This idea that what we can see and what is right in front of us is better than the wandering of the desire. And I'm going to kind of combine these two, all of the desires that we can have in life, all of the dreams that we have. We can close our eyes, and instead of looking at what's in front of us, we can close our eyes and we can just live in this dream world. We wish things were a certain way. We wish that life was this way, or we have these desires and these dreams. The title of the message this morning is a little bit negative, but it's Stop Dreaming. That's the title of the message, is Stop Dreaming. Now, I don't mean that we shouldn't have goals and that type of dreams. I just mean that, man, we live in a time where everything is aided for us to just live a life wishing instead of a life that's right in front of us, instead of seeing what's here for us. A preacher once said to a bunch of young men, he said, don't spend all of your time wishing your life away. I wish it was this, and when I get to this other place, then I'm going to wish it was this other thing. And then we finally get something, and then, man, I just wish it was this. And you have to understand that, man, the eyes of man are never satisfied. They're never satisfied. You have to understand this by now. You have to even just a little bit of experience have to understand. It doesn't take very long to, man, we've saved up and we want and we get, and all of a sudden, man, we have it. We've had what I've been working for. It doesn't take very long for our eyes to look somewhere else. Ooh, that's nice. Amen. It doesn't take why the eyes of man are never satisfied. Some people spend all of their time wishing they were living in their dreams instead of appreciating what is right in front of them. And listen, everything is that way. TV. It's just this false reality of a world where we can immerse ourselves and be away from the reality and see things on TV. And man, you hear some people talk about TV shows or whatever, and it's like they almost believe it's true. They forget that it's in a studio and someone else has written the lines, and the people get paid lots and lots and lots of money to act like somebody else, to create a complete false narrative. And you hear some people talking about some TV show like, oh, I wish my life was like that. Yes, somebody wrote down what you wish your life was like so that you'd watch it. That's the entire purpose of it, is to do that. Social media, what is that? It's a world where most everybody puts their best foot forward. You know what it's not? It's not a reality. That's not what social media is. People aren't like, hey, look at the huge pile of laundry that we haven't done recently. Nobody's usually doing that. And if they are, you're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe they would live like that. And then they look over in the laundry room. Oh, I live like that. But nobody wants to see that. And by the way, my wife keeps up on the laundry. I don't want to make this sound like there's laundry piling up all over my house. I'll get scolded. Bad example. Use the garage. You can figure that out. But social media is generally this big look at me at my absolute best. And man, we can get caught up in this false world, or we can see other people's material things and we can start thinking, oh man, if I only had that. Movies, same thing as television, video games. Just spend all our time on video games and just get locked into these things. You know, video games today are not made like Super Mario Brothers was when I was a kid. Right? I mean, everything now is made to be addictive. You understand this, correct? I don't think I'm trying not to shock anybody here this morning with, like, you know, I don't think this is any, I don't think any of this is like big conspiracies. You know what I mean? Like, the idea is they want you to spend more time on social media and more time playing video games and more time watching television. Like, this is not a secret, right? Okay. At least, thank you. It's not a secret. All right. Me and you, we're on the same page. This whole AI, it's called artificial intelligence. It's right in the name. They're not even really trying to trick you that much. It's right in the name. It's artificial intelligence. And now that's some people's only intelligence. And I feel bad. And I don't want to have to deal with it. But we do. We do. This is the world that we live in. And I mean, you know, plastic surgery. What is that? To make you look different than how you look. Getting shot up with Botox in every portion of the face. Do you ever see somebody, I mean, especially on television, you know, you see somebody and you're like, what in the world happened? They ran into a hornet's nest. No, they just got shot up in the face with stuff. They can't even smile right. Do you ever notice that? People can't even smile right. Like, ugh. The makeup now where it looked, women look like completely different people. All the shading, yeah, huh? That's not the same person. Yeah, it is, but you wouldn't know it. I'm not against makeup, but my goodness, it's just a reality of us to be able to live in some kind of dream world. You know, guys out there taking steroids so they can have muscles that aren't theirs, right? I mean, it might not be a bad idea if I could just take steroids and go to the gym and look at the weights, and then I would gain muscle. That's okay. Maybe we're getting somewhere. But what is it? All of it's a fake reality. It's a fake reality. And it's unfortunate that some people would rather spend all of their time on a phone in a fake world than enjoy the real life that God has given them. Amen. And the real things that are right in front of us. And we can be carried away with dreams and desires. And part of the problem is living in a dream world, it leads our real world to an attitude of apathy. It leads to depression. My world's not like the fake world. That's because you've been fooled into thinking the fake world is real. It's not the problem with real life. The problem is now we think our life should be something that really nobody's life is. It leads to a life void of joy. There's no joy. Man, my life's boring. It's not exciting like the people in the movies. My life just is, I don't really have anything going on, but everybody on social media, they just seem to have this great, exciting, and wonderful life. You realize that, like, you can't even trust literally anything that you see anymore. You know that, right? You can't believe anything that you hear or anything that you see, but people so desperately want it to be real that they'll just throw away all truth in order to believe something that's not even real. And it's a problem. It's becoming a problem. What is the motivation to get up and go work a real job when I can just sit around and live in this life, virtual reality life that is not real? And I'd rather replace it with all these great things. No, it's a problem. In Christians, it leads to a Christian thinking that they're living a defeated life because they have some kind of, I can't really understand the idea of like a celebrity pastor. Those are real things now. They make YouTube shorts and they get on social media and they say these little clippy type words and these things. And Christians that should have more sense and biblical sense go, oh, wow, look, that's awesome. And it's just for snippets, just like that. Life is not snippets. Life is not clips. I grew up, in the age that I grew up, SportsCenter was just becoming like a big deal. And what was SportsCenter? SportsCenter was where you could see the best parts of like every game. And for baseball, that's like 6 seconds. You could take 9 innings and clip it down to 6 seconds. There were 3 hits and 4 strikeouts, and the score was 2-1. And people sat there for like 5 hours to watch it. Right? But this idea of like these sports and these little clips of you could see the dunks and the three-pointers and you could see all the catches and the sacks and all this kind of stuff. Man, that was cool. And you could see the final score and see what happened. But man, that's the only thing people want now. I mean, really, you might zone out 7 times during this message, but I commend you for at least sitting here. Because we live in a time frame, man, where pretty soon, if I continue to preach according to the way of society, I'm going to preach to you about 20 minutes, and that's going to be 10 minutes too long. And you're going to be like, oh, get me out of here. Just give me the clips. Give me the little sayings that I need to substantiate my life. Man, we're heading down a wrong path. We're heading down a wrong direction. This idea, man, it leads to a defeated life. It leads to envy. It leads to covetousness in our lives. It leads to indifference about church. Well, church just isn't exciting. Listen, I apologize. I apologize for not apologizing. We're not going to try to keep up with your Instagram reels. We're not going to try to keep up with your fail videos. We're not going to try to keep up with the entertainment of the world. It's impossible. I have no desire to do it. We're supposed to come and uplift the Lord. You know what? This is a place where we can come. We can come and be freed from this. We can come to church and set our eyes on the Lord, and we can feel at liberty that we're not being bombarded every 5 seconds with something on a screen. And we can come to church and say, man, I can get away from it all, and I can lift up my eyes to the Lord, and I can be thankful for what He's done. Man, that's refreshing. That's refreshing. I don't want to have to drop the screen and show a bunch of stuff for you guys to have your dopamine fixed. All right, we're good. We like coming to church because it's more of the hype and the excitement and all that. I don't know if you've realized this. I'm not a great hype guy. I just don't have the person. I don't have this big charismatic personality to be the hype man. And listen, I don't desire to. I don't desire to do that. The Word of God should be able to be what we need, but what's it lead to? It leads to an indifference about church. It leads to people choosing a church based on the same thing that they bury themselves with all week long. If I can just have a church like that, where everything can just be flashy and quick and snippet, and if it can just be the highlights. And if you could just, we could draw out a verse and give me one little cute saying that I can kind of write down in the margin of my Bible and take that with me throughout the week. Man, that doesn't help you sustain the Christian life. That doesn't help give you anything to sustain you. It's a, man, this whole idea of living in a dream world, we detach from our friends. We just detach. People are socially awkward. Why? Because we can just immerse ourselves. We can just put something in our ears and in front of us, and we don't have to interact or do anything with anything. And, well, now you see it. When a generation that's been raised in it only, and you try to interact with them at the place where they work, and you're like, Hello? Hello? Hold on. That's my order. Right? It's impossible. It's like it's hard to interact and have conversations. It leads to detachment. It leads to being unthankful. Unthankful for what the Lord's done. Why? Because I just wish I was somewhere else, doing something else, living some other life. It leads to Christians being miserable. Amen. And man, that's not what the Lord wants. Lord's given us access to joy. Amen. And given us access to peace in this life. And that shouldn't be for us. No. That shouldn't. So what's the message? Stop dreaming. Stop dreaming. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14 says, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Amen. That light comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. That's what it's like. Amen. That's what it's like. Now, I'm not one to say that I'm not on my phone. All right, I'm not one to say, well, I don't have any social media. I don't do anything on my phone. So I'm here just, you know, standing on my soapbox preaching. No, that's not the point. But sometimes I go somewhere. The other day I went to the post office. Now, don't get me started on the post office. Amen. Brother Glenn, this is not about the post office, all right? If my father is watching, who also retired from the post office, this is not about the post office. But I went into our post office in Chehalis, and I had to send out a something. And I get there, and it's one of those times when there's like seven people in line in front of me. And it's like, there's three windows, but there's only one clerk. But as soon as we get down to, okay, it's not about the post office. As soon as we get down to one person in line, we'll open up another window, all right? So I'm waiting before I can get into the little room. If you've been there, I'm in the big room, right? And I'm sitting there. And I said to myself, you know what? You know what I'm going to do right now to prove a point to myself more than anything is I'm just going to leave my phone in my pocket, except to tell my wife I'm like seventh in line. That's why I'm going to be in here so long, as she was in the car, send, right? And so I just stand there just like a complete fool. I just stand there, and every single person that comes in gets in line and immediately has to just be like something. And man, I hate that feeling. Amen. I hate the idea that I'm addicted to anything. Amen. I hate the idea that I'm going to be under the power of something. Amen. And so I'm like, I'm just going to keep my phone in my pocket. And so I just kept my phone in my pocket and just stood there and looked around. The signs say they're hiring, by the way. I don't know if you want to. But looking around, and wow, that sign's been there from, yeah, probably 82. Yeah, and just kind of looking around at what's going on, seeing what's happening. Oh, what's that person doing? They got a lot of boxes. What are they doing? You know, then you're snooping on everybody. What do they got going on back here? You know, you're looking around at everything. But what is it? Man, you go into a doctor's office, you go into anywhere, and if someone has to wait for 5 seconds, they can't do it. They can't be alone with their thoughts for 5 seconds. They got to be somewhere on something, doing something, looking something up. And man, as a Christian, we need to realize this stuff can have an effect on us. Amen. A real effect on us. And everybody over a certain age in here is going, yep. And everyone under a certain age is going, not me. Yeah, you. And me. Amen. I'm right in that middle. I'm like the very end of Gen X, which means we didn't grow up with it, but now we have to deal with it. We didn't learn it when we grew up. We didn't even have it. And then we were in the workforce and we had to figure out how to deal with all the stuff, all the computer stuff and everything. We had to deal with it. But the Bible says, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give thee light." You know what we should do? We should stop dreaming. We should stop dreaming and we should look around a little bit. And we should realize, man, we're living this life that God has given us and that we should do something about it. I like to say this, number one, I'd like to say this, stop dreaming. Why? You have a great Savior. Amen. You have a great Savior. And listen, this life of dreaming and wishing and everything away, Man, you can have a great life because we have a great Savior. We have a great Savior. The Bible says, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen. If you have a great God here this morning, why don't you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. He's a great God. He is a great God. He's given us salvation. If you've been saved and born again, you understand what that means. There was a time when you realized you were a sinner and that you needed a Savior. And that the church and your good works and your best effort and your parents raising and however good your grandparents were, none of that was going to matter when you stood before God. Because you were going to answer for yourself. And man, the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. And yet when you heard the gospel and you understood the gospel and you realized that without Jesus Christ, there was a hell that you were going to go to. And you're like, man, there's a payment for the sin. The wages of sin is death. But then you heard about the gift of God, which was eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you heard about that salvation and you said, I want that. Lord, I need that. You find out Jesus Christ did all the work for you. He lived a sinless life that you can't live. And then he died on a cross for a death that you deserve for our sin. And we die on that cross and you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and you become what the Bible says, born again, have a new life put inside of you. And when you get saved like that, you realize, man, thank God for salvation. And we have a great God that offered salvation to us for free. We just have to, by faith, believe in what he has done. Thank God for that. If you've never been saved, he's offering salvation to you today. He's offering it to you as a free gift. Say, well, my background, and I was this, and I was raised this way, and this happened, and I don't know about that. Man, it's by faith, believing in Jesus Christ. It's not a Baptist thing. It's not a faith Baptist church thing. This is a Jesus Christ as the creator of the universe offering himself unto you, laying his life down. So that you could have salvation and so that you could go to heaven and have eternal life. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. As many as believe on his name. I messed up the last part. But man, it's the fact that if we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be saved. And what a blessing it is for salvation. Not only that, we have a great God because of our sonship. Once you get saved, you become a child of God. The Bible says, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's in humanity, all right? It's not sexist statement. It's just the fact that we are the children of God once we get saved and born again. Before people that aren't saved, people of this world, you're not a child of God. That's a lie of the devil that a lot of religions peddling to you. Jesus Christ said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of the flesh ye will do. But you don't have to stay that way. You can become a child of God. You can have his blessings on your life. You can have his protection in your life and his hand in your life and his leadership and his guidance in your life. What? When you become a child of God. You become a child of God by getting saved. Not only that, but he's given you a sword. The word of God. What a great Savior that we have. What a great God that we serve that's given us the words that he wants for you and I. And he's given to us in a perfect book. Everything that he's wanted to say to us, he can say through his word. I don't have to worry about coming up with some neat little thing. I don't have to go back to the original languages to find some deep, dark nugget in the originals. You know what we have? We have a Bible that God has given us, and we can read it. And if you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God speaks to us through his word. And anything and everything that he has for all of humanity is written right here. Yeah. Well, that's an old book. It was written a long time ago. Yeah, but man hasn't changed. We're still sinful. And the lust of the flesh still goes on and on and on. This book knows more about you than you know about you. This book says more about me than I know about me. And I read it and the Lord says, this is you right there. And I say, that's not good. The Lord says, no, it's not. But I'm good. That's what the Lord says. The Lord says, I'm good, and I'll help you be good. And I'll help you get some victory. And one of the ways we can do that is to stop dreaming and realize we have a great Savior. He's given us the Holy Spirit within us. When you get saved and born again and put your faith in God, he doesn't say, good luck to you. Good luck figuring it all out. No, it gives us His Holy Spirit, and it helps direct us in this life and give us some purpose and give us some direction. Because why? Man, we have a bunch of choices to make in this life. And God can help us and lead us and guide us. We're not left to ourselves. We're not left alone. No, He's given us His Spirit. Amen. You have a great Savior and a great God. It's given you a family. Amen. And listen, I know not every family is perfect. I know that. And you look around for the black sheep of the family, and I've said this before, if you can't find the black sheep in the family, it's you. If you look around and go, yeah, I don't, none of my brothers or sisters seem to be the black sheep. It's probably you then. Everybody has them. I know families aren't perfect, but thank God for family. And thank God that we can have those relationships and we can learn about love and we can learn about how to treat one another. And I understand not everybody grew up with a perfect family. Not everybody has that. But thank God if He's given you a good family. Thank God if He's given you good friends that want to serve God and that aren't trying to lead you astray and lead you away from the Lord, but trying to walk with you in the Lord. Thank God for the finances He's given you. Say, well, I don't have a lot. Lord said He'd supply your need. Thank God for the clothes on your back and the food that you were able to eat. If not this morning, at some point today. Thank God for it. Thank God that He's provided for you and helping you pay your bills. And thank God for the future that we have in Him. Thank God that I don't have to lay in bed and worry all night saying, man, did I make the right choice? Am I doing the right thing? And yeah, there are some things to worry about, but I can rest in the fact that God says, I'll take care of you and I'll lead you and I'll watch over you and I'll direct you and I'll help you in these areas. Man, I couldn't make it in this life if the Lord wasn't helping me and directing me in this life. I don't have to sit and worry about the future. Why? I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King, and He loves His children. And thank God for it. We can stop dreaming. Why? Because we have a great Savior. We can stop dreaming because, and thank God for the fact that you have a good church. You have a good church. You can stop for a moment and think about that, right? You can stop for a moment and praise the Lord about that. Again, our church is like a church family, right? So sometimes we're not all perfect. But I'm thankful for this church family we have. I'm thankful for the local church where we can come and we can worship and praise the Lord and we can learn about the Bible and we can open the scriptures and we can have it as our final authority. We don't have to worry about some kind of tradition made by men and we don't have to go back to some kind of council to figure out what church fathers thought about something. And we can open up the scriptures and we can have the Holy Spirit help us interpret the scriptures and live according to those. Thank God that you have a good church. And this church has been here for many years. Many years. Thank God for it. Thank God for a lighthouse in the community. I'm not saying the only one. I'm saying thank God for a lighthouse in the community that wants to uphold the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to worry about if you fit into some kind of group or fit in, have some kind of income or meet some kind of standard to come here. Man, you come in here and you lift up the Lord and worship Him and thank God for Him. And the rest will work itself out. Doesn't matter what side of the tracks we're from or how we grew up or what kind of income level we have, what our education is. Man, we can all worship God. He's not worried about that. The Lord's not worried about that when He saved you, or that He's not worried about that to love you or to give you something from His Word. His Holy Spirit's not worried about that. God has something for everyone, and I'm thankful for a good church. Listen, I can't say this much about everything, but I can say you have pastors that care for you and that pray for you. I can say that much. Thank God for that. That's a blessing. Thank God for the preaching that it's Bible first. I know this sounds self-serving. I'll get past this point. But it is something to worth considering. This is a church where the preaching's Bible first. It's not opinion first. It's not politics first. It's Bible first. Something that's going to last. Something that is Bible first. Something where we're not afraid to open up the scriptures and preach the doctrine from the Word of God. Doctrine is not popular nowadays. Why? Because everyone has an opinion. But I'm not that concerned about even my own opinion. I want to know what the Word of God says. And then preach the doctrines from the Word of God as the Bible says it. It'd be a lot easier if we just didn't take a stand on anything. Then nobody would be offended. But that's not true. People are looking for reasons to be offended. If you're looking for a reason to be offended, then I've already given you several this morning. I'm not trying to play the enemy. I'm not trying to play the antagonist. I'm just simply saying if you're looking for a reason to be offended, you'll find one. Well, the flowers on the front don't match the flowers that were here. You can find anything if you try hard enough, and we live in that kind of world. How can I be offended? How's the next way that I can be offended? Oh, someone said hi to me. I'm offended. Nobody said hi to me. I'm offended. They talked to me too long. They didn't talk to me long enough. They smiled. They didn't smile. Anybody can be offended for any reason. As people are looking for it. But thank God, stop dreaming about what could it be and realize you have a good church. You have people that are friendly. And people in this church are giving. They're giving. People in this church looking to support one another. I'm not saying everybody, this isn't a place where everybody knows everybody's name, all right? There's rarely a church like that, unless it's small enough where you can't, you know, there's no way around it. I'm not saying that everybody has to know everybody and the ins and outs and everything, but listen, this church is a church that tries to help people and tries to support people. And if we know that there's a need and we understand there's something worth praying over, man, we can take it to the Lord and pray and ask God on your behalf for health or in the case of somebody else or someone that you love. This is a church like that. This is a church where we can thank the Lord for a beautiful piece of property. A beautiful piece of property that the Lord has allowed us to have completely paid off. We don't have to worry about, are we going to be able to do this or do that? And the Lord's done that for us. Praise the Lord. You know why? Because we can take that money and we can support missions and we can do things with it that are going to spread the furtherance of the gospel and do some things. Thank God for that. Thank God for a good church. A church that's founded on the right things. And you know what I had to do? I came in, the Lord called me to this place, and do what? Just keep it going forward. Just keep it going forward for the cause of Christ. And to build upon the foundation that was already laid. And just keep going on for the Lord. Well, there's better this, and there's better this other thing. Ma'am, stop dreaming. Stop dreaming. Open up your eyes and realize what the Lord's given you right in front of you. We can stop dreaming and realize that we have a guaranteed judgment. We have a guaranteed judgment that's coming someday. And boy, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment." The judgment. We're all going to stand before Him someday. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." We're all going to stand before the Lord. Saved, not saved, we all stand before Him and we're going to be judged. We're going to be judged for what we have done in this life. Not for what we've dreamed about. Not for what we've wished. Not for what we've hoped for. Not for all the things that somebody else has done and that you've seen them post about it. Not for all of that. We're going to be judged for what we've done in our lives. God has given us a work to do. He's given us a work to do for Him. We should be about the Father's business. That's what the Bible says. We should be about His work. John chapter 4, it says, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." There's plenty to do for the Lord. Plenty to do for the Lord. Plenty of gospel tracts to be able to hand out. Plenty of lost sinners running around. And you have the gospel. you have the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Plenty to help and plenty to be a blessing to and encouragement to. Plenty to pray about. There's a lot to do. There's souls to win. And there's saints to encourage. And there's missionaries to support. And there's scriptures to read. And there's soldiers to train. Why? I don't know. I want to hear one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I will not hear it when I'm just living in some kind of dream world. I'm living in some kind of screen. Lift up your eyes. You ever seen people driving? They're driving like this. People are walking like this. People are sitting like this. People are talking to each other like this. You're at the same table. People are ordering things like this because they can't talk to humans. Unless you have to walk in and do this. I don't know what I'm doing on this thing. I hate this thing so bad. I went to Taco Bell the other day, and I just wanted to order two drinks. That's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to get two drinks from Taco Bell. And I went in, I looked at the guy, and he's like, gotta get it. And I'm like, okay. And I go over, and you gotta hit the start, and then you start one looking around. If I'm with any of my kids anywhere, I'm like, you do it. And I just go and I find it. I want a drink. What kind of drink? You're not giving it to me anyway. The drink is right over there. I'm going to pour it myself. Okay. What do I want? Hit that. What size do you want? That makes sense. Where's the size? And then you go through the whole thing, right? Do you want to do this? No. Do you want to join this? No. Do you want to give your change? No. Do you want to pay with your blood? No. Do you want to add this? No. Do you want to order more stuff? No. Okay. You go up through. I get done. I walk over. The guy goes, "Oh, here's your cups." I said, "That took way too long to get to order two drinks. I wouldn't have gladly paid double. They're already like $7, you know, for like two sodas." And I'm just like, I really needed that Mountain Dew. Like, I really, really needed it. But we're never going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," if we're just constantly in some kind of dream, false reality, fake kind of world. Yeah. You know what to do? Lift up our eyes. Stretch our necks a little bit. Lift up our eyes unto the Lord and realize everything that's going on around us. The life that is happening, the days and the years that are clicking by before us. And the only memory we're going to have is something funny we saw, or some little clip that happened, or some game that we scored a score on, or some movie that we watched, or that's all that's going to be left to remember. Because there's no life we just have let life go by. I like to watch some of the bigger golf tournaments. And you know what they do at the Masters was last weekend. That's a big one in Georgia. You know what rule they have there? Zero cell phones. People pay huge money to go watch golf and have someone say, "You can't have a phone." And I saw a couple things about it, and people were like, it was so nice. Like, we just went in there, and we realized, once we went in there, that anybody that was wearing one of these, this is a wristwatch, anybody that was wearing one of these was like, they were in high demand. "Excuse me, do you know what time it is?" Yeah. We used to be able to tell time by the sun. No, I'm not saying I can do it. I'm like, it's still bright out. I shouldn't be asleep yet. All right, got it. Right? But people said, hey, and then somebody said, you know what else you need to do if you go there? Because nobody has a phone, nobody has any. There's like no way of getting a hold of anybody. If you're going to use the restroom, you better say, use the restroom, then I'm going to meet you right here. Now, a lot of us, we understand this fully well. We know how this had to work. When you used to go to friends, when you used to go to the mall with your friends when I was a kid, we didn't. Yeah. Where are you going to be? I'm going to be over there. All right. Well, don't leave. Because then what? Then you'll be walking around the mall like this with no friends. Right. And there's like four other people walking around the same way. What are you doing? I'm looking for my friends. You know, we're completely lost. They said, you better make a plan. You use the restroom, you better make a plan where to meet somebody. Why? Because they had no phones. But we're not going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, without it. Church, don't waste time dreaming about all your desires in the flesh. Don't waste all your time thinking, man, I just wish it was like this, or I wish I could be here, or I wish this other thing. Don't spend all your life doing that. Put down the remote. Put down the phone. Set aside the mouse. And look up and see what is here. And see what is now. See what you can do for the Lord. Look around and realize there's a lot to thank Him for. Realize there's a work to do. And that's to have a real effect on real people that you talk to that are right in front of you and right around you, everywhere else. Look up and see that we have a great God. Look around and see that we have a good church. Look around and know that there is a guaranteed judgment. And we're going to stand before Him someday. And we're going to give an account for what we've done. And church, I want you to have a good judgment. Amen. I'm working on my own. And I want you to be working on yours. And I want us to get to heaven and the Lord look around and say, that church was a different church. Amen. That church was concerned about the right things. That was a church that didn't spend all their time just living with their head in the clouds and dreaming and wishing and hoping and dreams and desires. You know what's in a bunch of dreams and desires? Vanity. Vanity. We can look around. Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is right here in front of us. And boy, we can live for the Lord and we can please Him. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning. Church, stop dreaming. Stop dreaming. Live for the Lord. There's so much to do for Him. The fields are white unto harvest. All the things that I mentioned, I know I went quickly through a lot of those things. It wasn't a message to kind of dwell on specific things, but to get you to stop dreaming and look around and realize there's so much to do. So much for the Lord to do. So much to do for one another. So much to please Him and to see souls get saved and scriptures to be read so that we can know what we're supposed to do and the Holy Spirit to follow. There's so much for us, church. Don't get caught up. Don't follow everybody else. I know how it's going to go. I'm prepared as a preacher. I already know. People aren't even going to get out of this building before they're grabbing their phones and looking up stuff. It's going to completely defeat the purpose. I totally understand it. But maybe a few of you will think about it, and a few of you will just put it aside, and you'll make a habit of in your life to just say, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go forward with my head up, and I'm going to look around and please the Lord with my life. Lord, thank You for Your blessings to us. Thank You for saving us, and thank You for giving us Your word and the truth of it. Lord, I pray that You'd speak to our hearts, Lord, that You'd allow us to leave this place and not to just to, well, I went to church, but Lord, that this the message and whatever Your Spirit spoke to them about would would be clear and it'd be loud, Lord, and we'd make some changes in our lives, and we'd wake up and allow the Lord, allow you to give us light of the things in this world. And Lord, I pray that you'd have the preeminence in all things in our lives and in this church. And Lord, that you would allow people to make decisions to live for you and to live plainly. And Lord, just thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for being so kind to us and being gentle with us and being long-suffering. And thank you for being patient and continuing to speak to us. And maybe you've spoken to us today about the same thing that you've spoken to us over and over and over again. But Lord, we just can't seem to figure it out. Lord, I pray that you'd bless us. And Lord, you'd strengthen us to be the soldiers and servants we need to be for you. And Lord, that we would thank you and that we would praise you for all your kindness to us. And Lord, you're worthy of all of our praise. And Lord, bless today. Bring us back this evening at 6 o'clock to hear from your word. And Lord, prepare us for the week to come. And whatever you've given us to do, Lord, and wherever we go, and that you would prepare us to be a light for you and to be a mouthpiece for you and for the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. Strengthen us to go about and do what we need to do and be faithful for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. You are dismissed. Love you, church.